And you see that we're going to share communion together this morning. Communion is that which we hold in common. What we hold in common is Jesus. And so you're going to be the ones who preach the sermon this morning at the Lord's table as you partake of the bread and the cup, and as we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. The Lord's Supper really is a celebration of the cross. And so we've put the cross up this morning. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, "I didn't think it was a good idea to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Beloved, the cross is the center of our faith. In fact, somebody that's a lot wiser than me, or somebody that knows a little bit more than I did, once said this. He said, "The heart of Christianity is the Bible, and the heart of the Bible is the cross, and the heart of the cross is the heart of God." And so this morning, we're just going to contemplate the cross. I want to talk to you about what was nailed to the cross this morning as we just prepare our hearts and our minds to worship Him and to proclaim the Lord's death as we partake of the body and the blood. And so there are some things right here in this passage that I want to read with you this morning in Colossians chapter 2. Did I say Colossians before? What did I say? Something different? Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 8. And so the Apostle Paul says, "Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, based on human tradition, based on the elemental forces of the world, and not based on Christ." Now let me just pause there and point out to you that there are elemental forces in the world. Elementary, that is, they're the basic things. And what he's talking about there is food and drink and air and those things that we need for this physical life. He says, but don't be so caught up in all of that that you miss true life, because there is more than that. And so he says that these things that people get caught up in are not based on Christ. Verse 9, "For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ." That is, if you're going to know God, you've got to know Christ. He says, verse 10, "And you have been filled by Him, who is the head over every ruler and authority. You were also circumcised in Him." And now we go back and remind ourselves of Abraham and all that covenant that God made with Abraham. And now the new covenant, you have been circumcised with Christ now, with a circumcision not done with hands by the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of the Messiah, that is the fleshly thing, but you've been circumcised in Christ. Verse 12, "Having been buried with Him in baptism, you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And when you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive with Him and forgave us all our trespasses." Now, beloved, just contemplate for a moment what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. Look at it again, verse 13. He says, "You were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh." That is, that part of you that was in rebellion against God, in hatred to God, enmity with God. He said, "You were separated from God, dead." He said, "But He made you alive and with Him and forgave us all our trespasses," or all our sin. How did He do that? And this is the verse I want us to focus on this morning, verse 14. "He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them by Him, which is Jesus." Now, I want you to note in that 14th verse that it says that there was something else nailed to the cross. That is, the Lord Jesus was nailed to the cross, but there were other things nailed to the cross as well. In fact, as the Roman soldier had that hammer in his hand and nailed the hands and feet of Jesus to that cross, that soldier was not the only one there that day that had a hammer in his hand. In fact, Father God God Almighty was at the cross that day, and he also had a hammer in his hand, and he was also nailing some things to the cross. So what I want to do is we just prepare our hearts this morning to participate in communion in the body and the blood of Jesus. I want to talk to you about some things that were nailed to the cross along with Jesus. And I'm going to put them up on the screen, and then we're going to put them on the cross here. The first one is the charge against Jesus. In fact, you'll notice here on the cross, I've already got nailed up here, the charge. And this is called the titulus. It's a Latin word. We get our word title from it. And typically or traditionally, when the Romans would crucify someone, they would put the charge, that is, what they were being crucified for. For example, if you had murdered somebody, and let's say it was Joe Williams, and he's a murderer, so he's being crucified for murder, along with Joe being nailed to the cross, they would put the titulus or the title on it that would say, Joe Williams, murderer. This is why he was crucified. And so they put a sign on the cross, and John's Gospel tells us that Pilate had it written in Latin, or Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. And the title said, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Now, I've put the Latin form of that up here, I-N-R-I. And just to understand that, the I stands for Jesus, or Jesus. The N for Nazareum, or of Nazareth. R is the Latin word rex, or king. And the last I is for Udamun, or Udarum, which is Judah, or the Jews. And so I-N-R-I stands for Jesus of Nazareth, or Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. Now, the religious leaders went to Pilate and said, wait a minute, you've put a title up there that says Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. You need to change it to say he claimed to be King of the Jews. And Pilate said, no, I've written what I've written. That's what he's being crucified for. And I want you to notice something. You don't get crucified or you don't get executed for claiming to be a criminal, right? You don't, if you claim to be a murderer, they're not going to execute you as a murderer simply because you claim it. Jesus didn't get crucified because he claimed to be the king. He got crucified because he was the king. And when you get over to the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter, it says that the Lord Jesus carries a title with him. And I believe that it is that same title that the Lord God, Father God, nailed to the cross with him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the scripture says that it was placed on the cross in those three languages. Aramaic, which is the spoken language of the people. It's actually spoken Hebrew. It's what Aramaic is. And that is the language of the covenant. And then it was put up there in Latin, which was the official language of the Roman Empire, the language of government. And then it was also put up there in Greek, which is the cultural language, or the language of the intellectuals. It was the language that wherever you went, you could speak. And so watch this. In Aramaic, Latin, and Greek, Jesus is king over the covenant. He is king over the spiritual life. He is king over the government. He's king over everything else. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And so the first thing that is nailed to the cross, along with Jesus, is the titulus, or the title, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Now, the second thing that we're going to nail to the cross today, and I'm going to put this up, and I'm going to take the hammer in my hand along with God the Father. The second thing that was nailed, that he nailed to the cross, was the law. The law. Now, did you notice in that 14th verse, the Apostle Paul is talking about something that he calls the certificate of debt. Now, a better translation or a way to translate that certificate of debt would be an IOU. Whenever you come into debt with someone, or to someone, if you borrow some money or something, you become a debtor, And if it's a debt that you can't pay, then you give them an IOU. And you say that you're going to pay it. Well, the Bible says that we are all debtors to God because we have all sinned. And our sin puts us in debt to God. And so, in effect, what happens is we, our sin, every sin that we commit, every one that you've ever committed, has put you in debt to God, and an IOU has been issued for that sin. There's no sin that's forgotten. No sin that's too small or too big. Nothing that's in between. Every sin has been has put us in God's debt, and with that sin is an IOU. And so sin makes us a debtor. Why? Because he says there in that 14th verse, he erased that certificate of debt with its obligations. Now, the obligations that he's talking about there is the law of God. So, for example, if you speed and you violate the law, you now become a debtor of the government. And so you get stopped and you get a ticket and you have to pay that ticket because now you are a debtor because of your sin or because you violated the law. Every time you violate the law, you become a debtor to God, and an IOU is issued, and this is the law of God. Now, to understand what we're talking about when we say we put the law up here, you need to understand that there's two parts to the law. There's the moral law, and there's the ceremonial law. Now, I get asked all the time, Brother Greg, do we have to obey the Old Testament law? And my question is, well, are you talking about the moral law or ceremonial law? The moral law is that part of the law which is caught up in that part of the scripture we call the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not have any other gods before me, don't make any idols. Those Ten Commandments embody the moral law. And Jesus said, when he was asked one time about what is the greatest commandment, he said, do this, love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor and yourself. Now, what he was talking about was the moral law, okay? And Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, he said, don't assume that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, what the moral law requires from us is complete righteousness or sinlessness. If you ever sin one time, you violated the moral law. Jesus was the sinless Son of God. So when he said, I came to complete the law, what he did was he never sinned. He was perfect because the law demands perfection. And in his perfection, he completed that moral law. Now, the ceremonial law, which is the second part of the law, are all the things that the people would do, the sacrifices that they had made, the type of clothes that they would wear, the kind of food that they could eat or could not eat. And all those things were ceremonial. All of that was the ceremonial law. Now watch this. The ceremonial law was given because no one could keep the moral law. And when you violate the moral law, now you have to do something to try to bring you back into a right relationship with God, which is what all of those ceremonies, all of those customs, all of those sacrifices, all of those things were about. Now watch this. Because Jesus fulfilled the law, because he was the sinless Son of God, because he never sinned, the ceremonial law now is made obsolete. He completed the moral law, and he made the ceremonial law obsolete. So when Jesus was nailed to the cross, the law went with him. And so now you and I are no longer under the law. We are under grace because of what Jesus did. The law, the obligations, that which made us a debtor, or that which caused all the IOUs to be written for every one of our sin. The law was nailed to the cross. It was crucified with Jesus. And now you and I, no longer under the law, under grace, now we can come to God completely. And so the law was nailed to the cross, the entire law, all of it. Now, along with the law, because the law was nailed to the cross, the third thing that we can put up here the third sign, if you will, is sin. And just hear the Lord God nailing your sin to the cross. So what happened with the law? The law made us debtors. Notice back in verse 14, it says that certificate of debt with its obligations. So the certificate of debt is all my IOUs, all your IOUs for every sin. And they're all listed out there. All your past sins, all your present sins, all your future sins. They're all there, all of those IOUs. And what happened was they were nailed to the cross with Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, the prophet, speaking of Jesus, said this. He said, "We all went astray like sheep. We all turned to our own way. And the Lord has punished him for the iniquity or the sin of us all." And so it kind of looks like this. I say kind of because it's almost, hang with me just a second. It's almost like as Jesus was hung on the cross, Father God took all of our sin, every one of our sin, and he laid it on Jesus so that Jesus bore our sin. But I want you to know that's actually a little bit more to it than that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says he, and we're talking about God the Father, he made the one who did not know sin. Who's that? Jesus. He made Jesus, the one who did not know sin, to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now understand what happened here. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, so identified with our sin that he actually became our sin so that when Jesus was nailed to the cross, sin was nailed to the cross. I personally believe that all this took place as Jesus hung there on the cross and he who knew no sin became our sin. Remember what happened about noon there? Everything went dark. Every light in the universe, my personal opinion is, every light in the universe went out. Sun stopped shining. Maybe the sun was up there still burning and shining, producing heat and all that, but there was no light coming from it. I think that if you had a flashlight or a cigarette lighter or whatever it is, and you'd tried to light it there, you would have seen no light. Everything was dark because something was taking place as Jesus hung on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. And in the midst of that darkness, you hear a cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he's sin. That's why. God the Father can't look on sin. God the Father can't have anything to do with sin. All he can do is nail it to the cross. And he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might know the righteousness of God. So sin was nailed to the cross. Along with sin, watch this. This is so beautiful. Along with our sin was nailed death. God the Father took that hammer in his hand and he nailed death to the cross. How do I know that? Because sin causes death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now, sin doesn't bring physical death. We're all going to die anyway. Except for the fact that what we call physical death really is just sleep. We fall asleep here and we wake up in eternity. And all you have to do is just look at the Bible and see and have that explained to you. But so we're all going to die. So sin doesn't cause physical death. What it causes is spiritual death. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. What kind of death? Spiritual death. Eternal separation from God. And so since every one of us are a sinner, and beloved, I'm talking about everybody in this room. Now, you might be saying, well, I'm not that bad. Yes, you are. You are. You're a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and just one sin makes you a sinner. One sin makes you fit for hell. Now, God didn't create hell for any of us. He created it for the devil and his angels. But that's where every one of us are headed because of our sin. And that's just the truth. So we're going to die spiritually because we are sinners. And so what happened was, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, he who knew no sin became sin for us. As that sin was nailed to the cross, because the wages of sin is death. Look, death was nailed to the cross along with him. So Jesus, you could say, was the death of death. By the way, this is why, as Jesus stood beside the grave of Lazarus, and Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, upset because Jesus hadn't gotten there in time to heal their brother. Oh, Jesus, if you'd just been here, our brother would not have died. And Jesus said in verse 25 and 26 of John 11, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asked the key question, do you believe this? Later on, the Apostle Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Now, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what God did when he nailed Jesus to the cross, or when Jesus was nailed to the cross, and sin went along with him, the stinger of sin is death, because the wages of sin is death. And so along with sin, death was nailed to the cross. The cross was the death of death. Now there's one final thing that gets nailed to the cross. Because if sin and death are gone, now, what's this? Isn't this precious? Hell. Hallelujah. Hell is nailed to the cross. Now, look back down at that 15th verse. If you have your Bibles open, you would. It says that because of the cross. Now, he's talking about what was nailed to the cross. And he says in verse 15, because of the cross, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them. He disarmed the rulers and authorities. Well, what are the rulers and authorities he's talking about? Well, he's talking about the devil and his henchmen, Satan and his angels. It says he disarmed them. Now, when you disarm somebody, what do? You take their weapons away. What was the weapon of the devil? The great weapon, hell. Now, there's a lot of other things that you might characterize as his weapons, but hell sums them all up, in my personal opinion. And you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to create hell for your life. He wants to put you in hell, even while you're still living. And there are some people today, you just look at them, they're a living hell. Some of you have lived through it. Some of you have been a part of it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does, is he just creates hell. But on that cross, hell was nailed. Because on the cross, the devil was disarmed. Beloved, listen to me. He can no longer raise hell in your life. I'll be honest with you, one of my pet peeves, one of the things that bothers me more than anything else is when people start wanting to tell me what the devil's doing. You know, how the devil got this victory and the devil did this and the devil won over this in my life and the devil's done this and this and this. No! The devil doesn't do anything that you don't allow him to do. Why? Because he's beaten. He's done. Listen. The Lord Jesus stomped his head. That hammer was ringing, as the nails were being driven into the cross, that was the devil's hide being nailed to the cross. I just like to think of it that way, man. He was put down when Jesus was nailed to the cross. Listen, don't ever give the devil any due, because he's not due anything. He can't do anything to you, child of God, that you don't allow him to do. He has absolutely no power, no authority, no ability except that which is given to him. So don't give him anything. Because as Jesus hung on that cross, hell was nailed to the cross. You don't ever have to fear a defeated foe, beloved. and so you don't have to worry about hell no more. So the Lord's Supper is the communion that believers hold together. We celebrate the cross. We say, well, that day when Jesus hung on the cross was the darkest day of history. It was, because sin was piled upon him, and he who knew no sin became sin. But along with Jesus, all these other things were nailed to the cross. And because they're nailed to the cross, you bear them no more. In a few moments, we're going to come to the Lord's table. Before we do that, I'm just going to ask you just to pause and examine your own heart. Are you bearing your sin today? Maybe you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. And as you sit here today, or you stand here today, you sit there, right there, in your own sin. Now, Jesus bore the sin on the cross, but until you give it to Him, and that means until you trust Him with your life, until you come to Him admitting that you can't save yourself, there's nothing you can do, you're just a sinner, and you need His grace and the love of God, and you give your sin to Jesus, and He'll take it, and it'll be nailed to the cross, and that'll be your sin, and along with the sin, death and hell. Now you fear those things no more. Beloved, have you been to the cross where the Lord Jesus suffered? Have you been to Calvary? I want you to hear the hammer blows ringing out as they drive those nails in to the hands and feet of Jesus, King of the Jews. As the nails, or as the law is nailed to the cross, as sin and death and hell, as God the Father rules and reigns. This morning, before we come to the Lord's table, I'm going to invite you to do business with God. If you haven't, I'm going to invite you right now. I'll be standing here at the front to receive you if you want to know Jesus. Or maybe you're a Christian and you've been just carrying this burden and weight of sin and you won't let it go. For some reason, you just allow the devil to have authority and victory in your life. I want you to know, beloved, today that it's broken. And you just come back and give it to Jesus. Oh, He loves you so, and He'll take it right now. Father God, help us as we come to Calvary. Lord, as we come to worship You, as we come to celebrate what You've done, Lord, there's some of us here that just need to give our sin to You. We've held on it long enough. God, we can't do anything with it. It just keeps dragging us down and sucking us in. And our life is hell. God, I just pray today that You'd break that power as we just give our lives to You. And Father, for those of us who are called children of God, but we've turned, we've strayed from You, Lord, I just pray today that You would help us as we turn to You, Lord, and we receive Your communion with You and with one another. Help us today as we examine our hearts, Lord. You shine Your light within us. May we do and be what You've called us to do and be. In Jesus' name, amen.